B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Lamed Beis. We're going to start at the last line of Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. In the previous sugya, we discussed a Rav Yechiel. Rav Yechiel maintained that Chazoka Shliach Oise Shlichusai. The Gemara was referring to a shliach, to an agent who had committed himself to setting up an eruv for somebody. We can comfortably presume, a chazaka is a presumption, that shliach oise shlichusai, an agent, a messenger, somebody who commits himself to do something for somebody else, that we can rely that he actually did it. Omer of Nachman, b'shel teira, ein chazaka shliach oise shlichusai. If the transaction, if what needed to be done was one that was biblically required, then we cannot presume that shliach oise shlichusai, and we cannot rely on it. B'shel soifrim, however, if what was needed of the shliach is a rabbinical one, then chazaka shliach oise shlichusai, only then can we rely on this presumption of shliach oise shlichusai. That was Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes Omar, echod ze ve'echod ze, chazok shliach oise shlichusai. You can rely on this chazok, on this presumption, even regarding isurim min haTorah, even regarding biblical halachas. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Sheshes, mino aminelo. I'm going to try and bring proof, says Rav Sheshes, that you can rely on chazok shliach oise shlichusai, even for issues that are min haTorah. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, in Menachos, Mishekorav ha'oimer, on the second day of Pesach, they would bring the korban oimer, in Pesach in the morning, which was a korban that was from the first crops of the harvest, was put onto the Mizbeach, only afterwards, hutar ha'chodosh, miyad. As soon as the korban oimer was offered onto the Mizbeach, then the new crops, the crops of the new year, were allowed to be used immediately. Varachoikim, those people who lived further away from Yerushalayim and didn't know exactly at what point the korban was offered, from what time of the day were they allowed to eat from the new crops, mutarin michatzeis hayom ve'eilech, from midday and on, they're allowed to eat from the chodosh, from the new crops. Asks the Gemara, v'hachodosh, the issa to eat chodosh and the heta to when you can eat it after the oimer was brought is min haTorah. Uktoni harachoykin mutarin michatzeis hayom ve'eilech. How can the people further away take it for granted that sometime before chatzos the korban oimer was offered and therefore they can now eat chodosh? It's a biblical issa to eat chodosh before the korban oimer was brought. Maybe they didn't bring the korban oimer. Can we rely that the kohanim did their duties when they were supposed to, which is a similar concept to chazok shliach oise shlichusai? Lav, can we not assume from this Mishnah mishum chazok shliach oise shlichusai? So I have proof from this Mishnah that we can rely on such a chazaka even for biblical isurim. Asks the Gemara of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said you cannot rely on chazaka for things that are min haTorah, b'shel Torah. How then does Rav Nachman explain this Mishnah? Why can the people further away from Yerushalayim eat chodosh at midday? They do not know, they didn't see with their own eyes, or they didn't have witnesses to say that the korban oimer was brought. How can they assume that it was brought? Says Rav Nachman, Hosam Kedektoni Taima, there it's different. It's not merely that anyone that's supposed to do something, that's committed to doing something, that undertakes to do something, we can take it for granted that he's done it. No. Lefisha Yoidim Sha'in Beizdin Mistatzlimboy. Over there was a Beizdin that was overseeing what was happening in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beizdin would make sure that there would be no procrastination whatsoever. And since there was a special Beizdin set up to make sure that nobody in the Beis HaMikdash procrastinates, that's why the people elsewhere can assume that by Chatzos the Korban Oimer had indeed been offered. But anywhere where you do not have such a Beis Din, you cannot rely on Chazok Oise Shlichusoi by Isurim Do'iraisa. The Ikad Omra. There's another version to this. Omer of Nachman, it's Rav Nachman bringing proof. Mino aminelo. How do I, Rav Nachman, know that you cannot rely on the presumption that Chazok, that Shliach Oise Shlichusoi by min haTorah, by Yisurim min haTorah, diktoni taimo lefi sheyoidim shein beizdin misatzlin boy. Because we know that that Mishnah that we just mentioned in Menachos, the only reason the people outside Yerushalayim can eat after Chatzos from the new crops and rely that the Korban Oim had been brought is only because there was a Beis Din there. Beis Din hu deloy misatzlin boy, hoshliach misatzil boy. You see clearly that it's only because there was a Beis Din. But in a regular case where there's no Beis Din, and it's just a regular agent that is committed to doing something, we cannot rely that he's done what he had to do. And therefore, B'shal Teira, Rav Nachman says, we do not use the chazaka of Shliach Oise Shlichusei. Rav Sheshes. How's Rav Sheshes going to answer this? According to Rav Sheshes, why do I need the reasoning of the fact that there's a Beis Din there making sure there's no procrastination? Even without that, there's a chazaka that Shliach Oise Shlichusei. Answers the Gemara. Omer l'chorov, Sheshes is going to explain to you, Beis Din ad palga de yoyma, Shliach kula yoyma. Since the main mitzvah was to do it sometime that day, according to Rav Sheshes, min hatayra, even for Yisurim min hatayra, we can rely that they did it that day. There's no reason that they should have to rush and do it first thing in the morning. Sometime that day, because chazak is Shliach Oise Shlichusei. Rav Nachman wouldn't agree with this. He would say, even on that day, how do you know they did it, if not for the fact there was a Beis Din there? According to Rav Sheshes, we know they couldn't rely that it was done that day. Because there was a Beis Din, they can rely it was done first thing in the morning, and by midday, it was clearly already after, and you can eat from the new crop. So according to Rav Sheshes, the reason of the Mishnah that I need a Beis Din to make sure there's no procrastination, it's not what allows me to eat the new crop, it's what allows me to eat it already from Chatzos. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is going to bring another proof to what he held, that you can rely on this presumption even b'shel Torah. Minoa minula. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Ho isho sheyesh oleo leida oiziva. A woman who's either after birth or has been tomei with ziva, and before, even after they've been through the whole purification process and they are tohir, they are not allowed to eat any korbonos, any hekdesh, until they have brought a special korban, which is a set of birds. What does she do? Mivio mois, she brings the money which would pay for these two birds, v'noisenes b'shofar, and she would put it into a money box designated for this purpose, which was the shape of a shofar. It was narrow at the top, wide at the bottom, so nobody could pull any money out. No one who wasn't supposed to, no one could steal any money. She would put the money in the box, v'toiveles, and at the end of the day, she has to toivel, even though she's already pure. But because she was not allowed to eat hekdesh, and now when her korbanos are brought, she can now, yes, eat hekdesh, she needs to go into the mikveh again. V'icheles b'kochim le'erev, and at night she can eat kochim. The question is, you can only eat kochim if you can take it for granted that the korbanos were brought on your behalf. You have to assume that the kohanim opened this box, took out your money, and brought the korbanos, brought these two birds that they were supposed to bring in your name. How can you take that for granted? My tama, love, is it not mishum domrinon chazok shliach oise shlichusei? Is it not because there's a presumption that an agent, somebody whose job it is to do something, has actually done it, even b'shel Torah? So that's a proof to Rav Sheshes that you can rely on this chazoka. Rav Nachman, what's Rav Nachman going to do? You've got very strong proof from this braisa. If a woman is allowed to take it for granted at night, that sometime during the day, the korbanos were brought on her behalf, and therefore she can go to mikveh and eat hekdesh, and that's very seriously also, because if her korbanos were not brought, it's seriously also to eat hekdesh. How can she eat hekdesh? How can she eat kochim? If not, that we can assume that chazok shliach oise shlichusei. The Rav Nachman, how's Rav Nachman going to answer this? Halsom is going to explain Kedur of Shemaya. Because of something Rav Shemaya said, the Omer of Shemaya, chazoka ein beizdin shel koyanim, there was a special beizdin of koyanim, oimdim misham, they do not stand up, they do not leave the premises of the Beis HaMikdash at the end of the day, ad sheyichlu kol mois sheba shofar, unless they've made sure that all the coins in this money box has been totally emptied and all the relevant korbanos have been brought. And therefore, if it would just be a regular shliach, we would not rely on him. If there's a special Beis Din making sure that it's happening, then we can rely on that Beis Din. And therefore, it's not a proof to what would be with a regular shliach. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is going to try and bring another proof that Chazok Oise Shlichusoi, Shliach Oise Shlichusoi, even Beshel Torah. Minoa Minolo. The Tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Ha'imir Lechaveir, if somebody says to his friend, say, go out to the field, and I allow you to pick as many figs as you want from my fig tree. And the owner of the fig tree, the one that sent him, has no idea how many figs his friend is going to pick. This friend who has picked the figs, then on a temporary, casual type of way, that means if he's not fixing a meal on these fruits, then he's allowed to eat them even though he hasn't taken the relevant chumas and maestras. Because that's the halacha. If it's in the field, you're eating arai, it's okay. Asron vadai. And if you're going to want to eat them on a more permanent basis, and the halachas of arai and vadai are not relevant now, but if you're going to be eating more permanently, then ma'asron, you have to take the chumas and maestras as if it was vadai tevel. There's a difference between if it's sofik or vadai. If it's vadai, you have to give the ma'aser rishon to the levi, you have to give the ma'aser oni to the oni. If it's just a sofik, you have to separate it, and then you can now eat the fruits, but you do not need to actually give the ma'aser to the levi or to the oni unless they can prove that indeed it needed taking ma'aser from. However, if it's vadai, if it's definitely needed ma'aser taken from, you have to give it to the levi or to the poor person. So if the owner told his friend, go pick my figs, and the owner doesn't know how many he's going to pick, there's no way in the world that the owner is going to say, I'm letting him pick his fruits, and I'm going to take maestras, trumas and maestras, for those fruits from elsewhere, to make sure that he doesn't eat fruits and that have not been taken maestras from. He won't do that, because he doesn't know how many fruits his friend is going to pick. He doesn't know how much trumas and maestras to take. However, if the owner says, Mole lecho kalkolozu, fill up this basket to ein miteinosi from figs for my fig tree, now the owner does know how many figs he's going to take. He's going to take a basket full. Then, oichel mehen arai, then when he eats, he can eat arai, and he does not need to take trumas and maestras, or ma'asron demai. But if you want to eat more permanently, then since it could be that the owner took trumas and maestras already, because he knew how many figs you were going to pick, and it could be he took trumas and maestras from other fruits to take away the status of tevel from these fruits, but you don't know. Therefore, misofik, you have to take off the trumas and maestras, but you do not actually have to distribute the trumas and maestras, because it's demai, it's a sofik. When is this true? Ba'am ha'oretz, only when the owner of the fig tree, if he's an am ha'oretz, and he doesn't know the halachas, and doesn't keep to all the halachas, he's not particular with all the halachas. Aval b'chover, a Talmud Chacham, or somebody who is committed to keeping all these halachas the way he should, oichel v'einu tzorich la'asir, then the person who's picked the figs is allowed to eat, and he does not have to take any trumas and maestras, not even as demai, not even as sofik, because we take it for granted that the owner who is a chover, is definitely taken trumas and maestras from elsewhere to make sure that the fellow who's picked the fruits is not chas v'sholom going to eat them without taking trumas and maestras. Divir Rebbe, that was the opinion of Rebbe. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds, and this was actually the father of Rebbe, he holds Bamed Vorim Amurim Ba'am Ha'aretz. Like the original halachas we said was if the owner was an Am Ha'aretz. If the owner is an Am Ha'aretz, then if you want to eat Arai, you don't need to take any trumas and maestras. You want to eat Kavua, more of a fixed type of eating, then you take it as if it's Demai. Aval B'chover. However, if it's a Talmud Chacham who owns the tree, Eino Oichel Achi Asir, then you're not allowed to eat anything until you take Maisa Vadai, because we can take it absolutely for granted that he did not take Trumas and Maisas. If the owner was an Am Ha'aretz and the owner knew how many figs you were going to pick, then it could be he took Trumas and Maisas, because he's an Am Ha'aretz, he doesn't know all the halachas, so it could be he took Trumas and Maisas, it's a Sofik. You have to take again Misofik. But if he's a Talmud Chacham and he knows the halachas, he's a chover, he knows the halachas, we know he didn't take Trumas and Maestras. Why? As we saw before on the Flamad Amud Beis, that it's also for a person to take Trumas and Maestras Shaloi Min HaMukav, from fruits elsewhere. You're not allowed to do that. And therefore, if it's a chover, we know that he knows he's not allowed to take fruits from elsewhere. Whenever you take Trumas and Maestras, you have to take off part of the fruits that you're actually making from Tevel to make them kosher, to make them allowed to be eaten. And you're not allowed to tell somebody, go take figs from my tree and I'll make sure that Trumas and Maestras are taken from figs elsewhere. And since the chover knows he's not allowed to do that, we can take it for absolute granted that Trumas and Maestras have not been taken. If Trumas and Maestras have not been taken, then you have to take Maestras bevadai. And you can't say that maybe he took Trumas and Maestras on the fruits of this tree before the fruits were picked, because there's no such thing. You cannot take Trumas and Maestras from fruits that are still attached to the tree. Omer Rebbe. Rebbe commented, Nirin Dvorai Medivrei Abba. I think that the halacha is closer to what I'm saying than what my father said. And the Bir Agro in Yeridei in Hilchas Kibud Av Eim discusses how Rebbe could say, how he could argue with his father. And the Bir Agro says, the Vilna Gaon says, that because his father wasn't there present with him, he was allowed to argue with him. Mutav sheyechshedu chaverim litrim sheloi min hamukuf, that Rebbe says that it's probable the halacha is like me, that even though he's a chover, a chover would rather take trumas and maestras, shaloi min hamukuf, from fruits elsewhere, even though he shouldn't really be doing that. It's better to do that than to take the risk of allowing an amoretz who's picking the fruits to eat those fruits without taking trumas and maestras at all, which is tevel, which is severely osa. Mutav sheyechshedu chaverim litrim shaloi min hamukuf, velo yachilu la'am ha'oretz tuvolim. Rather than taking the risk of allowing this Amoret to pick the figs to eat Tevel Chas V'Shalom. This is the end of this long brisa that Rav Sheish has brought. Says the Gemara. So what do we see from here? That since the owner himself is responsible to make sure that the Amoret who is picking the fruits is not going to eat Tevel, therefore we can absolutely rely on the Balabayis that he took Trumas and Maestras. And therefore, if the person who picked the fruits and wants to eat them, he's allowed to eat them without taking any Trumas and Maestras, which is what Rebbe said. How can you say, the owner is not more than an agent on behalf of the person who's picking the fruits to take responsibility for the Trumas and Maestras? So you see from here that Chazaka Shliach Oise Shlichusai, even with Yisurim Doiraisa. Says the Gemara, Ad kan loy pligi, elo de mar sovar nechshedu, o mar sovar loy nechshedu. You see that even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, what's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel arguing with Rebbe? He only argues because he says that there's an issa to take fruits from elsewhere. And therefore, if the owner of the fruits is a Talmud Chacham, we can assume he's not going to take Trumas and Maestras. It means they're only arguing, elo de mar sovar, Rebbe holds nechshedu, that even though it's not the preferred way of taking Trumas and Maestras, we assume that the owner who is a chover will take Trumas and Maestras in order to save the person who's picking the fruits from eating Tevel. Umar Sovar, Shem ben Gamliel argues and says, Lein Nechshedu. Since one should not take Trumas and Maestras like that, we assume he didn't take Trumas and Maestras. Aval Kule Alma, in any other scenario, in an event where there's no Isser to take Trumas and Maestras from elsewhere, then Chazok Shliach Oise Shlichusai, even Shem ben Gamliel would agree to Rebbe that we can assume that the owner would have taken the Trumas and Maestras because there's a presumption that an agent does what he's committed to do, what he has to do. So you see clearly, Chazok Shliach Oise Shlichusai, even Bashal Torah. This is proof to Rav Sheishes. Rav Nachman, how's Rav Nachman going to explain this? According to Rav Nachman, how can you say that Eino Tzorich La'aser, that you don't need to take any Maestras, and you can assume that the owner, in the event that he's a chover, took Trumas and Maestras? According to Rav Nachman, you're not allowed to rely that Shliach Oise Shlichusai Bashal Torah. Hosam Kedrev Chanina Chuzo. Over there, it's different. because of what Rav Chanina Chuzah said. To Omer Rav Chanina Chuzah, Chazaka hu al chover she'enei moitzi dover she'enei mesukin mitachas yodei. There's a new perception here, and that is regarding Trumas and Maestras, and specifically regarding Trumas and Maestras, there's an added punchline, and that is that a chover, a Talmud Chacham, who's very stringent in these halachas of Trumas and Maestras, we take it for granted that he would not allow any fruits to go out of his rishus unless they are mesukon, unless they are not tevil. So even though a regular shliach, we would not rely that oise shlichusoi. However, over here, in the same way as we saw before that the kohanim, they have a beis din making sure that they do what they have to do, over here there's an added chazaka, a presumption, not a presumption that an agent does what he has to, rather a presumption that an chover would not allow Tevel out of his Rishus. And therefore over here, if not for the Issa of Litraim Shaloi Min Amukov, according to Shimon ben Gamliel, if not for that, he would agree that one would be allowed to eat from these fruits and from these fruits without taking any Trumas and Maestras, because a Chover does not allow fruits out of his Rishus without taking Trumas and Maestras. Continues the Gemara. Omar Mar, we saw in this long brisa that Rav Sheshes brought regarding this fig tree, this owner who allows somebody to pick his fruits. Let's look a little bit more into one phrase we said there. When is it true that if you want to eat Ara, you do not need to take Trumas and Maestras? If you want to eat more Kavua, then you have to take Trumas and Maestras as if it's Demai. When is that true? If the owner is an Amharetz, and it's a Sofik, did he take Trumas and Maestras? Did he not? Aval Bechover, if the person who owned the fruits, owned the tree, is a Talmud Chacham, is a Chover, then either way, it's not a Sofik. Either he definitely took Trumas and Maestras because he would not want the person picking the fruits, the Amharetz who's picking the fruits, to eat Tevil, or he definitely did not take Maisa because he knows that he's not allowed to take Trumas and Maestras from elsewhere. Aval Chover Oichel Ve'enei Tzorich La'asir Divir Rebbe. Rebbe said you can take it for granted. He does not need to take Maisa because we assume that the Chover has taken Trumas and Maestras from elsewhere. Says the Gemara, Hay Am Ha'oretz Dik Omer Li Leman. You said that if the owner is an Am Ha'oretz, then the person who's picking the tree, the fruits, has to take Trumas and Maestras Misofik. Who is the Amoritz allowing to take the fruits? This friend, the one who's actually picking the fruits, what is he? Is he an Amoritz or is he a Chover? If the Brisa is talking about that the person who's been given permission to pick the fruits is also an Amoritz, Maisron Demai Mitzoyes, then if you tell an Amoritz, you have to take Maestras Misofik. He's going to listen to you? He's an Amoritz himself. He cannot be relied on. He's not going to listen to you. So what does it mean? Then we saw in the beginning, in the Reisha, that if the owner of the tree is an Amoritz, then the one who's picking it, if he wants to eat it kavua, a more permanent type of eating, he has to take Trumas and Maestras Misofik. If the fellow who picked the fruits is an Amoritz, he's not going to listen. Elo, it must be talking about Ba'am Ha'oretz Duk Omar Le'il Chavar. It must be that the person who's picking the fruits himself is a Talmud Chacham. And then it makes sense. If the person who owns the tree is an Amoretz, then the Chover who's picking the fruits and wants to eat them in a permanent fashion has to take Trumas and Maestras Misafik. And the Chover will listen to that. If so, that the Bryce is talking about that the person who's picking the fruits is a Chover, is a Talmud Chacham, is keeping all the halachas, Ema Sefer, we have a problem with the phrase towards the continuation of the Brisa. It says, Nirin Dvorai Medivri Abba. Rebbe said that it's more probable that Loch is like me, that the owner of the tree, if the owner was a Chover, that the owner of the tree took the Maestras, more probable than what my father, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, said, that the owner definitely didn't take Trumas and Maestras. Why? Mutav sheyechshedu chaverim litraim shalei min amukav, because the chaver would rather transgress the issue of taking truma from elsewhere, va'al yachilu l'amei ha'oretz tvolim, and not to make an am ha'oretz eat tevil. So you see that the person that picked the fruits was an am ha'oretz. we just said now it cannot be an Amoret, because in the Reisha it says that if the owner of the tree was an Amoret, then the one who's picking the tree has to take Misofik. An Amoret is not going to listen to that. Ame Haoretz, my boy Hossam, why is Rebbe mentioning Ame Haoretz here? We just determined that the Mishnah, that the whole Brisa, sorry, is talking about that the one who picked it is a Talmud Chacham. Omar Ravina answers Ravina, Reisha ba'ama oretz she'oma lechover. Indeed, the Reisha is talking about that the Ama Oretz was speaking to a chover, and therefore the halacha is that since the chover doesn't know if the Ama Oretz took Trumas and Maestras, he has to take Trumas and Maestras misofik, and since it's the chover who's picking the fruits, he's going to listen to that halacha. Sefer, and the end of the Mishnah is indeed talking about a chover she'oma la'am ha'oretz. It's talking about that the chover, the owner of the tree, is speaking to an am ha'oretz, not to a chover. And because he's talking to a chover, therefore, according to Rebbe, we assume that the owner of the tree took trumas and maestras, in order that that chover should not eat tevel. The chover acher shomoy. And there was another chover that was listening to the owner of the tree, who was also a chover, who was giving instructions and allowing an Ama Oretz to pick the fruits. Another chover heard this dialogue. Then Rebbe Sovar, Rebbe holds, Oisei chover, that second chover, Oichel, is allowed to eat from these fruits, Ve'ene tzorech la'asir, because the chover can assume that since the owner of the tree, who was a chover, gave permission for an Ama Oretz to pick these fruits, we take it for absolute granted that the owner took Trumas and Maestras, and even the chover can rely on that and eat from these figs that the Ama Oretz picked. The Vadai Isure Maisa, he definitely took Maestras. Hahu chover kama ilave. That first chover, which means the chover, the owner of the tree, definitely took Maestras for these fruits. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel argues with Rebbe and says, Lo yoichal, the second chover is not allowed to eat from these fruits, ad she aser, until he takes maisa. Lefi she'enoi shaloi nechshedu chaverim litrem shaloi min amukav. Because you can assume that the owner of the tree, who was a chover, he knew the halachas that you're not allowed to be toirim shaloi min amukav. You cannot take trumas and maisras from elsewhere. And therefore, you assume that trumas and maisras have not been taken. Va'omer le Rebbe, and Rebbe responded to that, Mutav shiyachshedu chaverim litrem shaloi min amukav, a chover would rather transgress the issue of taking trumas and maestras from elsewhere, rather val yachilu ame oretz tevolim, rather than make an ame oretz eat tevel. And therefore, since you can assume that the chover took trumas and maestras, the owner of the tree, the second chover, who the bystander, is also allowed to eat from those fruits that were picked by the ame oretz. Continues the Gemara. B'maika miflegi. What's really the point of contention between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? Rebbe sovar nichalei lechaver de le'evid hu isura klila. Rebbe holds that a chover would rather transgress a small issa, which is the issa of being toirim shaloi min amukav, taking trumas and maestras from elsewhere, v'loi le'evid ama oretz isura rabba, in order to prevent an ama oretz from transgressing a big issa. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel sovar nichalei lechover de le'evid ama oretz isura rabba. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds that a chover would rather that the ama oretz does a big aver of eating tevel ve'iyu afili isura klila loy levid, in order that he himself, a Talmud Chacham, should not transgress even a small isser. Continues the next Mishnah. Nosnoi ba'ilon lemailo me'asara tfochim ein eruvoi eruv. If a person who put his Eruv onto the food item that's supposed to be representing him, he put it onto a tree above 10 tfachim off the ground, then the Eruv is not a good Eruv. Lemato me'asara tfachim. However, if you put the Eruv food lower than 10 tfachim, Eruvai Eruv, then his Eruv is a good Eruv. Third halacha, says the Mishnah, Nosnei beboyer afilu omik meo amo. If you put the Eruv food into a pit, even if it's 100 amos deep, Eruvoi Eruv, it's a good Eruv. And the Gemara is going to explain these halachas. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Chiya bar Abba, Vereb Asi, Verova bar Noson. These three chachomim were sitting, Vyosef Rav Nachman, Gabayu Rav Nachman was also sitting there, Vyosvi Uka Omri. They were sitting and discussing the following. Hai Ilon, the Mishnah speaking about an ilon, which is a tree, and says that if the tree, if the Eruv is on this tree above 10 Tfachim, it's not a good Eruv. If it's below 10 Tfachim, it is a good Eruv. Let's try and understand this. Where is this tree situated? Now, this tree is clearly some place within 2,000 Amos from where the person is situated. The person who wants to walk, let's say, 4,000 Amos out of the city, and he's not allowed to do that because you're not allowed to walk more than 2,000 Amos, so somewhere close to the end of 2,000 Amos, he puts this Eruv, and that allows him to walk 2,000 Amos in any direction of the Eruv. He can walk another 2,000 Amos. So in this area where he's put the Eruv, some place between where he is when Shabbos comes and where he wants to go on Shabbos, is it a Roshus HaYochid? Is it a Roshus HaRabim? If it happened to be that that tree was in a private domain, Malim Lemailo, Mali Lemato, Roshus HaYochid, Oila Adler Rakia. If the area is Roshus HaYochid, because it's enclosed by walls, then the whole area of these four amos all the way up to the sky is considered a Roshus HaYochid. In which case, even if you were to put his Eruv higher than 10 Tfachim, it's in the same Roshus HaYochid as lower than 10 Tfachim. And he can take down the Eruv from the tree and eat it. So what's the problem? Why, if the Eruv is higher than 10 Tfachim, is it not considered a kosher Eruv? It must be that the tree is situated in Roshus HaRabim. And above 10, the tree is obviously 4 Tvachim wide, and above 10 Tvachim is Roshus HaYochid. So if the person, we'll soon see, but assuming that the person, the place that he intended to acquire as his place of residence, so to speak, a representation of his residence, which is where he wanted to be when Shabbos came in, is at the foot of the tree, which is a Roshus HaRabim. The Eruv itself is on top of the tree, 10 Tvachim up, which is a Roshus HaYochid. You're not allowed to take food from the Roshus HaYochid into Roshus HaRabim. So we can understand the Mishnah. So let's see the Gemara discuss this. The Niskavein Lishbois Hecha. Where did the person intend to acquire his place of residence, so to speak, when Shabbos came in? If he intended to be Koine Shvisa, if the place where he wanted to be called his place of residence when Shabbos came in was also on top of the tree, some place above 10 Tvachim, then he's in the same place, the so to speak, the virtual version of him, the him which he intended, the place where he intended himself to be, so to speak, when Shabbos came in, is in the same domain, in the same place as the food of the Eruv. And then he could take it. There's no problem. Why is above 10 Tvachim not a good Eruv? We're talking about a regular case where a person, he wants to be Koine Shvisa, his place of residence, so to speak, is at the foot of the tree, which we know is the Roshus HaRabim. He's put the Eruv, whoever went to put the food there, put the food of the Eruv above 10 Tvachim. If it's above 10 Tvachim, you cannot take the food from above 10 Tvachim to below 10 Tvachim. And therefore the Eruv is not valid. However, if the food item is below 10 Tvachim on the tree, then it's not the Roshus HaYochid, and you're allowed to take it from the tree into the Roshus HaRabim where he's situated. Asks the Gemara, V'hokom mishtamish be'ilon. There are other issues, but one of the issues which we have is even if the food is put less than 10 Tvachim on the tree, you're not allowed to remove anything from a tree on Shabbos. Because we're afraid you're going to climb on the tree, we're afraid that ultimately, we're afraid you're going to break off a branch off the tree, which is severely asa. So how can you say that if the Eruv is on a branch of the tree, less than 10 Tvachim off the ground, it's not in Roshus HaYochid, it's a valid Eruv, you're not allowed to take it off, you're not allowed to take the food off the tree on Shabbos. How can it be a valid Eruv? Says the Gemara, Lo'ilam dekoi b'Roshus HaRabim v'niskavin nishbois lemata. We're not changing from what we said before, that the tree is in Roshus HaRabim and he intends to be Koine Shvisa at the foot of the tree in Roshus HaRabim. And you're going to ask a question that if the food is on the tree less than 10 Tvachim, how can you take the food off? The Rebbe. It's following the opinion of Rebbe. The Omar called Dovar Shu Mishum Shvus Loigozur Olov Rabbonon. Even though we saw before in the Gemara and the Flamed Omud base that the Rabbanon hold that even Bein HaShmoshes, even twilight, where it's Sofik Shabbos, during the twilight area, all the Isurim Midrabbanon are Osur. Rebbe holds that anything which is a Shvus, which is only Osur Midrabbanon, Loigozru Olov Bein HaShmoshes. Then the span of time called Bein HaShmoshes, the twilight time, the Chachomim did not make these Isurim. And since when does a person koine shvisa, at what point does the Eruv have to be valid? Only during Bein HaShmoshes, when Shabbos sets in. And that's the time that determines where you are, virtually speaking, Eruvin speaking, where you are, where your food is, that's only determined Bein HaShmoshes. And since Bein HaShmoshes, the Isurim Drabonon do not apply, according to Rebbe, therefore you're allowed to remove something from a tree. That's only an Issa Drabonon. You can remove the food of the Eruv from the tree during Bein HaShmoshes, therefore it's a good Eruv. However, if the food was above 10 tefachim, that's Rishus HaYochid. To carry food from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, that's an Issa Doiraisa, that you're not allowed to do Bein HaShmoshes, so the Eruv is not valid. But if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's a Karmelis, it's not going to be a Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid is only above 10 tefachim, and therefore you're allowed to remove the food from the tree on during Bein HaShmoshes. Omalu Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman responded, Yosher, what you said is correct. V'chein Oma Shmuel, and that's exactly how Shmuel explained the Mishnah that we're talking about, that the tree is in Roshos Arabim, the person wanted to be Koine Shvisa in Roshos Arabim, and the food is less than 10 tefachim, and the reason that it's a good Eruv is because it's Bein HaShmoshes, and it only needs to be valid Bein HaShmoshes, and Bein HaShmoshes, you're allowed to take something off the tree. So they responded to Rav Nachman, Posrisu bo kulehai, you and Shmuel, you analyzed this so thoroughly before we even discussed this, because you're telling me that you've already discussed this with Shmuel, and Shmuel came out to exactly our conclusion. Inhu nami hocha kapotribo. The Gemara is saying, why are you wondering how it could it be that Rav Nachman analyzed this Mishnah so thoroughly? Well, you also did. You can see that you just worked through the Mishnah exactly in this way. Why are you wondering about the level of analyzing that Rav Nachman and Shmuel did? Elohocha omrule. This is what they meant to say to him. Kavitu le Gemara. Gemara doesn't mean the Gemara, the Talmud that we have, because in those times, the Talmud was all learnt by heart. What he meant was that, could it really be that this explanation that we just had, that's what you incorporated as the final and binding explanation of this Mishnah? Omer Luhu, Rav Nachman said, in, yes. This is how I worked it through with Shmuel, and this is how we learn this Mishnah. Itmar Nami, we also learned, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Hocha be'ilon ha'oimid b'rishos harabim, the tree is standing in Rishos harabim, Oskinon, that's the case we're talking about, Gavoya asoro, the tree is higher than 10 tefachim, V'rochav arboa, and it's 4 tefachim wide, which means that putting something on the tree above 10 tefachim is putting the food into Rishos HaYochid, V'neskaven nishbo is lemato, and he's intending to be koine shvisa in Rishos harabim. The Rebbe, and it's following Rebbe, the Omar called Dover Shumishum Shvus Legozru Olov Bein HaShmoshes, because the Mishnah follows Rebbe, that says that even something which is Osam Ridrabonon, but during Bein HaShmoshes it's Mutter, and therefore you can remove the Eruv from the tree if it's less than 10 Tvachim down to the Roshos HaRabim during Bein HaShmoshes, and that's why it's a good Eruv. And another issue we would have had is, how are you allowed to remove the Eruv from the tree less than 10 tefachim? It has the status of a Karmelis. You're not allowed to carry from a Karmelis into Rishos HaRabim. And the same answer applies. The prohibition of carrying from a Karmelis into Rishos HaRabim is only Midrabonon. During Bein HaShmoshes, it's Mutter. So this is the end of the Gemara, how we've learned it according to Rav Nachman and according to Shmuel. Omar Rava. Rav is now introducing to us a new type of idea. Loi shonu elo b'ilon ha'oymeid chutz li'iburo shel ir, aval ilon ha'oymeid b'toich iburo shel ir, afilu l'mayle me'asoro hareizu eruv. So here Rav is introducing us a new concept. We know that a town, a person who's in a town, then he's allowed to walk 2,000 amos not just from where he is when Shabbos comes in, but from the outskirts of the town. Because the whole town is considered as a single reshus, so to speak, like a reshus hayochid, a private domain, even though there might be reshus harabims in there, and even though there are places where you're not allowed to carry in the town because it's reshus harabim, and you're not allowed to carry from reshus hayochid to reshus harabim. However, as far as Eruvin Tchumin is concerned, and now we need to get into a new head of a concept which is an Eruv Tchumin concept, and that is that an entire city is considered as a Rishus HaYochid, is considered as a single four Amos Rishus HaYochid, and therefore you start counting 2,000 Amos beyond the city. Every city has outskirts. 70 and two-thirds Amos beyond the city is still considered as part of the city, and you start counting from there. So if a person is in a city and he wants to walk not 2,000 Amos outside the city, but he wants to walk 4,000 Amos, then somewhere close to the 2,000 Amos mark, he has to put an Eruv. And then Eruv, then virtually speaking, again, this is an Eruv Tchumin concept. It only exists in the world of Eruv Tchumin, where I can represent myself with food, and it's as if that is where I was situated, even though I'm in the safe confines of my home in the city. But since I put food there with the intentions of acquiring residence where the food is, it's as if when Shabbos came in, I was where the food is, or close to where the food is, and therefore I can then walk 2,000 Amos from where the food was in any direction on Shabbos. That's giving me another 2,000 Amos to walk beyond the Eruv. What happens if that 2,000 Amos mark happened to be within the outskirts of another town? What's the halacha? So Rava said that if you put an Eruv in the outskirts of, or even if it's the outskirts, and even more so if it's in the city, you put an Eruv in the city, then even if it's talking about a Rishus HaRabim in Hilchus Shabbos, it's considered a Rishus HaRabim. If the tree is in Rishus HaRabim, but it's within the area of the outskirts of the town, then in the world of Eruv Tchumin, the entire city, including the outskirts, is considered a single domain, a single Rishus HaYochid. And in that world, a Rishus HaYochid is always 10 tfachim high. So it's as if a walled city, there's a discussion whether the city actually has to be walled or not, but the whole city is considered as if it's walled in and is full up to 10 tfachim. It's as if it's all a Rishus HaYochid. If so, if you have a tree there, even though in Hilchus Shabbos it's Rishus HaRabim, in Hilchus Eruv Tchumin it's Rishus HaYochid, and therefore if it's Rishus HaYochid, it's as if the whole area is blocked up. So if somebody wants to be Koina Shvisa at the foot of the tree, it's as if he's being Koina Shvisa 10 tfachim above the ground. This is a concept that we only hear about in Eruv Tchumin. And if it's as if I am situated 10 tfachim above the ground, then I am in the same domain as my Eruv, which is above, which is 10 tfachim off the ground. So even though in Hilchus Shabbos, I'm not allowed to carry the Eruv from above 10 tfachim on the tree, which is Rishus HaYochid, down to the Rishus HaRabim, because you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim in the halachas of carrying, but in the halachas of Eruv Tchumin, it's as if I am situated above 10 tfachim in the same domain as the Eruv. And Rav introduces to us that even though you cannot take the food, if you're in the same Rishus, so to speak, in the world of Eruv Tchumin, you're in the same domain as the food, that's enough to be a valid Eruv. So Rava says in our Mishnah that the Mishnah says that if the Eruv is above 10 Tvachim, then the Eruv is not a good Eruv. According to Rava, that's only true if you're not within the outskirts of a city. But if you're within the outskirts of a city, even if the Eruv is above 10 Tvachim, and even if the tree is situated in Rishus HaRabim, it's a valid Eruv. The halacha of the Mishnah is only true when this tree is standing outside the outskirts of a city. If the tree is situated within the confines of a city and its outskirts, then even though the food is above 10 tfachim, and the place that the person, virtually speaking, wanted to acquire as his residence is at the foot of the tree, which is Roshus Harabim, the Moso command the Malyadomi, an entire city is considered in the terms of Eruv Tchumin, is considered as being completely full, as a full Roshus Hayochid, and as if everything is above 10 Tvachim, so to speak. It's as if everything is circled by a wall, a virtual type of Eruv Tchumin type of wall, and therefore you're in the same domain as the Eruv, and it's a valid Eruv, even if it's above 10 Tvachim. Says the Gemara, very interesting, according to Yerova that you've introduced, an Eruv Tchumin type of domain, which allows you to make this Eruv kosher, even though in Hilchus Shabbos you're not allowed to take the Eruv to where you are, even if you're not within the confines of the outskirts of a city, I can say the same thing. Even if you're at the bottom of the tree, or not you, but the place you intended to acquire as your place of residence is at the foot of the tree in the Roshus Harabim, and the Eruv is above your head, 10 Tfachim, on top of a tree in Roshus Hayochid, it's also going to be kosher. Why? Given to Omar Rava expands his idea to another halacha. Hanoisene Ruvoi, if somebody puts an Eruv down, Yeshle Arba Amis, wherever he is, or wherever he or his Eruv is situated at the onset of Shabbos, you have four Amis around you that's considered, so to speak, as your four Amis. And you can walk around it, and there's a number of halachas that we're going to still learn about later on. But it's as if you've created a type of Roshus Hayochid, even though there are no walls here. You're in Roshus Harabim. And if you carry from Roshus Hayochid to Roshus Harabim, it's seriously also. But in the world of Eruv Tchumin, there's a virtual type of Roshus Hayochid. It's as if I'm walled in. Even if you're outside the outskirts of a city. If so, says the Gemara, according to Rava, even outside the outskirts of a city, the person was at the foot of the tree, there's an Eruv Tchumin type of virtual type of walling round him for Amis, and that extends all the way up to the sky, because Roshus Hayochid Oile Adler Rakia. So then again, I'm in the same domain as where my Eruv is, even if my Eruv is above 10 Tvachim. And then we have a question. According to Rava, with his new idea, new type of walls, how are we going to understand our Mishnah that if the Eruv is above 10 Tvachim, it's not valid? Why is it not valid? Yehocha chutzli bura shel irnami, even outside the outskirts of a city. Kiven do'omar Rava, anoisen iruvo yesh le'arba amois. Since Rava said that anyone who places an Eruv, he has four amos around him, havi le'roshus hayochid, it's a virtual type of Roshus Hayochid. Roshus Hayochid oilu ad l'rakia, and we know that the properties of a Roshus Hayochid, they go up all the way to the sky, and therefore, even above 10 Tvachim, the Eruv should be kosher. Omer Reb Yitzchok Breid of Mesharshia, Reb Yitzchok Breid of Mesharshia explains, now tell you when the Mishnah is true, even according to Rava, and that is Hocha Be'ilon Anoite Chutz La'arba Amos Askinon. We're talking about that the branches of this tree extend beyond the four Amos from where the person is. Normally, you cannot put the food outside four amos from the place that you wanted to acquire as your place of residence. But since it's all, he's under the tree, close to the tree, and here the Eruv is on the tree combines the food to the place of the person, or the place where the person wanted to be Kohen Shvisa, so that's not an issue. However, this branch extends beyond four amos from where the trunk of the tree is, from where the person was Kohen Shvisa. If so, if you're not within the confines of the outskirts of a city, and it's beyond four amos from where the person is, in which case, the Rava's virtual type of Tchumin walls won't help you here. In that case, if it's above 10 Tvachim, not within the outskirts of a city, not within Dalad Amos, then it's not in the same Roshus as you. If it's not in the same Roshus as you, you cannot reach it. And therefore, the Eruv is possible, and that's what the Mishnah means, that the Eruv is possible when it's above 10 Tvachim. When Iskaven Nishbois Beikre, this person intended to be Kohen Shvisa, to acquire his place of residence, virtually speaking, at the trunk, the Iker, the trunk of the tree, or might ask the Gemara, if this is true, how we've just explained that we're talking about a branch that's extending away from him, the horizontal branch that's extending away from him, then we have a grammatical a question here. It's more in terms of terminology that the Mishnah was talking about, that it depends if it's above 10 tefachim or below 10 tefachim. Lemailo, lemato, above, below. Above, below means when you have something vertical and you have a higher spot and a lower spot. But now that we're saying, Rabbi Yitzchok Breider of Masharshi explained that we're talking about that you have a branch that's extending horizontally, then it's not about above and below, it's talking about a higher branch or a lower branch. If it's a higher branch, if the branch is more than 10 tefachim off the ground, and it's horizontal, extending beyond 4 amos from the base of the tree, then it's possible. If it's a lower branch, then it's okay. Why is the Mishnah using terms of Mailo Mato? Says the Gemara, no, that's not a problem. The Gemara asks, Mailo Mailo, Mailo Mato. Why is it called Mailo Mato? It doesn't seem that it's a branch that's extending horizontally. And according to Rava, the way Rabbi Yitzchok explained it, we only understand the Mishnah if the branch is extending horizontally away from the tree. Answers the Gemara, Dehodor Zokif. It's extending horizontally below 10 tefachim, and then after 4 amos, the branch curves upwards and goes to the area above 10 tefachim. So there he says, this branch that has extended horizontally away from 4 amos, if you put the Eruv on the lower part of that branch, which is less than 10 tefachim off the ground, then it's okay. But if you put on the upper part of that branch, where that branch afterwards sloped upwards, then it's called Maila, it's called up, it's higher, and there it will not be valid, as we explained. Asks the Gemara, I understand, with everything that we've said now, that Rava, who says that there's a unique way of connecting the person with his Eruv, and that is that you're virtually speaking, in the Tchumin world, you're in the same confines, I understand that we have a case where you're not in the same confines as the Eruv, and that's if it's not in the Iburoi Shel Ir, and it's above 10 tefachim, and it's more than 4 amos away. Okay, granted. However, says the Gemara, v'ho'iboye maisilo derech alov. However, even according to Rava, if I can actually go and take that Eruv food, then it should be okay. Then even though we're not considered, virtually speaking, in the same Roshus, but I can technically speaking, I can bring the Eruv to me, that should be enough. How can you bring the Eruv? You can lower the Eruv from above 10 tefachim over the branch itself, which is protruding and extending away from 4 amos, is a karmelis, and he's going to bring the Eruv down along this branch to where he is, at the foot of the tree. And the truth is that, according to Rashi, this is not so accurate what I said. According to Rashi, the way it works is, since Roshus HaYochid is Oy Le'ad L'Rakia, then virtually speaking, a person who's at the foot of the tree, and Hilchas Shabbos, it's in Roshus HaRabim, but he's got a virtual 4 amis around him, then virtually speaking, he is in the same Roshus as an area above 10 tefachim on the tree. And that virtually speaking, he could then stretch out to the Eruv, which is also above 10 tefachim, and draw the Eruv towards him, virtually speaking. That means you can draw the Eruv, which is in Roshus HaYochid, above 10 tefachim, and draw it towards you into the virtual Dalad Amos, into a virtual Roshus HaYochid that you have surrounding you. And if so, again, even according to Rava, even if it's above tefachim, not above 10 tefachim, and not in the Iburo Shel Ir, and not within your Dalad Amos, you can still reach the food. And if you can reach the food, even Rava will agree that it's a good Eruv. Says the Gemara, no. Kesherabim mekatfin olov. This branch that is stretching outwards, this branch itself is exactly 9 tefachim off the ground. And there's a halacha that anything which is exactly 9 tefachim off the ground, in the event that the public adjust their bags on their backs by holding these bags onto anything that's exactly 9 tefachim off the ground, it's considered a Roshus HaRabim, not a karmelis. If it's less than 9 tefachim, it's considered a karmelis because it's too low for people to comfortably use. If it's above 10 tefachim, it's a Roshus HaYochid. If it's exactly 9 tefachim and the public use it, then it's considered a Roshus HaRabim. So now you've got a virtual type of Roshus HaYochid above where you are. above the base of the tree, which is virtually speaking where you acquired your residence. You have the food, which is at the top of the tree, above Ten Tvachim, also Rishus HaYochid. But what you have between the two is actually Rishus HaRabim, is airspace above a Rishus HaRabim, because the branch that's extending this Eruv out is considered a Rishus HaRabim. And we know there's a halacha that to pass something from one Rishus HaYochid to another via the airspace above Rishus HaRabim, even if it's above Ten Tvachim. And normally there's no Rishus HaRabim above Ten Tvachim. But when you're passing from one Rishus HaYochid to another over the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, which was similar to what they did in the Mishkan, then it is Osa. If so, you've got again a problem. You cannot, even though you're in Rishus HaYochid, so to speak, a virtual type of Rishus HaYochid, a Tchumin type of Rishus HaYochid, and the food is in Rishus HaYochid because it's on the tree above Ten Tvachim, and even though they're both Rishus HaYochid, you cannot reach the Eruv, and since it's outside the Dalad Amos, you don't have this virtual Rishus HaYochid, which encompasses also the place, the residence of the person, and also the Eruv. Therefore, the Eruv will not be valid. Ukud Ula, and this is based on Ula, the Omar Ula, Amud, a pillar, Tisha, which is 9 Tvachim high, Rishus HaRabim in Rishus HaRabim, V'Rabim Mekatvin Olav, and the public, they lean on it in order to arrange and to help them with the packages they have on their shoulders, V'Zorak V'Noch Al Gabov, and you take and you throw something from one place in the Rishus HaRabim, and it travels in the Rishus HaRabim and lands on top of this branch, even though normally if something lands on a karmelis or it lands above 3 tvachim off the ground, it could be in many cases it's not considered a hanocha in Rishus HaRabim. Ula says that if it was noch al gabov, if it landed on this pillar of exactly 9 tvachim that the public are using to adjust their bags, chayev is chayev, it's as if there was a hanocha on a Rishus HaRabim. Since this branch is considered a Rishus HaRabim, the airspace above the branch is considered the airspace above Rishus HaRabim. Carrying from one Rishus HaYochid to another over the airspace of Rishus HaRabim is seriously osa, and that's why the Mishnah says that if the Eruv is above Ten Tvachim, the Eruv is not valid. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.